On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, we find out all about the Newark Community First Aid and their role in local sport. And we finally get to know why we're not allowed to use a bucket and a sponge any longer. And it's time to look back and forward to the wacky world of local sport. Welcome to Thursday's renowned Radio Newark Sport. And have I got a cracking story for you coming up, Mr. Smith. The highlight of a busy weekend of cyclocross was round 9 of the West Midlands Cyclocross League at Starport on Severn. Glovers Jude and Jet Detot, both racing for Newark Castle Cycling Club, finished second in their respective under-12s and under-10 races, with a total of 320 riders taking part in the event. The Grove Squash Club's first team are finding life difficult in Division 1 without their regular captain, Chris Gibbons, who is struggling with a wrist injury. You should go and see the Newark Community First Aid. And he hasn't played this season. After 3 games, they sit at the foot of the table with defeats against Racketeers, the Posh People from David Lloyd, and a close 3-2 defeat to Trent Bridge. But individual wins there for Paul Burrell and Christian Cardens. Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill and assistant Roy Keane have left their roles. The pair were appointed in 2013 and guided the Republic into the last 16 of his 2016 European Championships. However, they've not won a competitive game in 2018 and were relegated from Tony's favourite cup competition. And this is a good story. Separated by much of the rest of England by the River Tamar, Cornwall has always been at an independent streak. The Cornish language, the abundance of St. Piran's flags compared to Union ones, and the way they make cream teeth, which, by the way, is the correct way, is all signs that the county at the bottom of England there wants to be on its own. But now, Cornwall may well be playing international football. A group of football enthusiasts and coaches in the county have set up the Cairnoo Football Association and joined CONIFA, the Confederation of Independent Football Associations. And apparently, a Cornish team could be playing in that competition alongside the likes of Zanzibar, Northern Cyprus, and guess who? Yorkshire. The independent country of Yorkshire. Cornwall would stuff them. I thought you'd like that one, Mr. Smith. You didn't even know Yorkshire played in it, did you?
Wonderful. I didn't know they played football in Yorkshire. I just thought they kicked people.
Well, they've had good practice from Leeds, haven't they? Martin O'Neill.
Yeah.
Probably just been there long enough.
Well,
got stale.
I think that him and Roy Keane did a job, and now it's time for a new face in there, obviously. I mean, there's... You know, 5 years in football, even when you're playing international football, it's quite a long time to listen to the same voice.
Yeah. I would agree with you. The trouble is, the favourite for the job is apparently Mick McCarthy.
Yes, I saw that.
Which I can't help thinking... I don't suppose Roy Keane wants to be his assistant. But, I can't help thinking it's a backward step. I mean, as good as, I think, as manager Mick McCarthy is, they've been there once.
Yeah, they have really. I don't think it works when you go back, unless you're called Alex McLeish.
One win and the world beaters. Honestly.
I don't think it's fair to say as yet
they beat the
world beaters.
Footballing might of Israel.
We'll conquer Europe first before we mess about with the world.
Dear, oh dear. As usual, something I said, I've got myself into trouble. You remember last night before you had the wonderful chat to... you had the wonderful chat to Nina.
Yeah.
I was putting Sam Agar in the same bracket as George Bauer and Hang on.
And guess who I met tonight while I was lollipopping?
And Tony Craig.
Yes.
And Gary Breeden.
I've got a complaint.
What about Mark Gore? There you go. So you can add Mark Gore to this list.
Hmm?
And I'm sure there's quite a few more out there. Who have you had?
I was lollipopping this evening or this afternoon and I met Tony Craig.
I put Tony Craig in that bracket.
I told him. I said, I don't know what time Mick Bradley starts drinking, Tony, but you were mentioned last night on the radio. And he was very pleased. He was on a race sojourn back from Spain. And he was well chuffed to be in the bracket. Though he said he was born too early because these days he'd get paid for it.
He would. I've got absolutely no doubt about that. He would get... And, of course, I can ask Jerry Felbert, you know... Jerry was a flying winger. I'm talking about straight down the middle, centre forwards. Even though Sam tends to play off the wing as well, but I'm really talking about centre forward. So, and I'm sure before this show's even finished, there'll be more comments flying in about great centre forwards.
Well, yeah.
At low fields. I haven't worked out who I'm going to leave it. I can't leave it to Craig Roach because he's not old enough. He's not seen George Bauer and Tony Craig play football.
Eric Coombs?
I'm going to have to bring one of these guys in.
Mm.
And we're going to have to put this to bed once and for all. Who is the greatest ever centre-forward to grace low fields?
Well, I think Billy and Eric Coombs have seen most of Sam Agar's performances and certainly Eric will have played alongside or seen the previous...
Well, he'll know Tony and he'll know know George.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'll also... I've seen Mark Gore play, obviously.
Yeah.
And I know he saw Gary Breeden play.
Yeah.
So I think a bit of gentle persuasion at the weekend to try and get those two guys in here, because I want to put this one to bed, because I don't know who the best ever centre-forward is at Flow Serve. It probably is Sam Agar, but it's a bit early in the day to choose.
I think Sam Agar's the best left-winger to wear a number 9, certainly.
Yeah, you're probably right on that one. You're probably right on that one, but we will keep moving this one forward.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's plenty of mileage.
It makes for a very interesting debate, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of mileage in the greatest ever low fields centre forward, and we'll work on that one. But not tonight, because tonight we have got the Newark Community First Aid come to see us. Now, over the past two or three weeks, Tony, we've been taking it out a little bit away from sport, haven't we? Talked to Luke O'Reilly, didn't we, on the nutrition.
Yeah.
We've talked to Becky Gallup about the how to keep fit before and after, how to look after your body. Well, now it's what happens on the day, because talking of Simos, which is what they still are to everybody who's a proper football supporter in Newark, I can go back to when Eric Hunt was the trainer. And Eric had a pair of old rugby boots with about 6-inch studs on there. You didn't argue with him at all. If he told you your leg wasn't broken, you played on. It was a good old-fashioned training. And he had his bucket, and he had his sponge, and he put that on and expected you to carry on playing football. Well, these days, according to my guest, you can't do that anymore, and he's going to explain why a little bit later on.
Did he have a white towel wrapped round his...
Yes, he did. Round his neck. Yes, he did. You're right. Yes.
Round his roll neck sweater.
Yes. You've got the picture of Eric Hunt. Fantastic chap. Absolutely.
Did Alf Tupper play for him?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely fantastic chap. So, times have moved on. And when I go to the rugby now or big running events, primary school sports, anybody like that, there's an ambulance parked up there, and the boys and girls from Newark Community First Aid are sitting in the background. You don't really notice them, but they are there. And if something goes wrong, then you do notice them. There was at the netball the tournament the other Saturday, and a lady either fell over or collapsed. I'm not sure what happened to her, but from nowhere, Vic West was there, and he was looking after her. At the rugby club, you don't see them. There's an injury, and they're there. So we're going to talk to them guys. So we welcome somebody who's very used to a radio studio, because if you go back to the old Boundary Sound days, I've got a shock jock in here, because every weekend, every Saturday night, Jonathan Brown was on the airways. Jonathan, welcome back to local radio.
Wow, it's lovely to be back, thank you. And on this legendary sports show as well, what an honour.
Exactly.
I've got to get that in while I'm in the studio with two of you.
He can come again.
There's not many do.
No, there's not many do come back, no.
Well, I've got another 45 minutes, yeah.
Drag him. First of all, Jonathan, welcome. I know you've had a busy day because you've been up at the showground.
And we have done for the last 4 days.
And this is the hobby, isn't it?
This is the hobby, yeah. We're all volunteers. We all started on the 1st of August 2013. About 46 of us started the group. And we've grown in size, sort of volunteers-wise, over the last few years, and we're continuing to grow in size volunteers-wise. Got new people coming through all the time. Do quite a wide range of events, not just sporting events, but... we've been up at the Midlands Machinery Show last few days at the Newark Showground. We do lots of different bits and pieces all around Newark, all year round, even on sometimes on Christmas Day, New Year's Day. So very well used, shall we say.
Okay, if this is the hobby, tell us what the real job is.
I'm an ambulance service for the NHS. But
it's like being a bus driver than driving.
But sort of working on the NHS and sort of doing a community first aid role is slightly different. Yes, you are providing care on both sort of sides, but sort of the first aid role, you know, is a lot of sort of see and treat things. NHS, obviously, a lot more sort of serious incidents across the Midlands you go to, as opposed to the event side where sometimes don't get a lot of injuries. But it just depends, really.
Is this? I know it's called a Newark Community First Aid, but are the group of you unique? Because obviously St John's are out there as well, or in other
towns. We're totally independent as a Newark Community First Aid group. We're a registered charity, got all the full insurances, etc., across the board, including our vehicles, medical insurance, so sort of fully independent. So there's nobody sort of above us or any government bodies as such above us. Was totally independent, so virtually our own bosses in essence.
Interesting.
Within reason.
Yes. But and obviously, as you've already mentioned, you have to be fully trained. And we'll come back to the reasons why later, but you know, you said anybody can join, but if somebody joins, they can join as a lay person, I suppose. From your
definitely
position, you have to have a certain amount of letters behind you.
That's not necessarily. We accept people on like a support level, so they'll come on events with us and do help with communications, help with the cleaning, help keep members refreshed and sort of keep the event ticking over. Then we've sort of got an apprentice first aid role where they do like a basic first aid course, and then they'll come out to events, sort of find the feet a little bit, work with the advanced members, work with experienced members, progress on to doing the first aid at work course. Along with some other bits and pieces, just to give them a bit of a top-up for doing events. And then once you've progressed as a first aider, come on to an advanced first aider where you can use the medical gases and different bits of equipment there. And then so that's sort of the top level that we run at as a community first aid group. But you don't necessarily have to have NHS experience or healthcare experience. We've got people from all walks of life in the organisation that have started from scratch and sort of come up to an advanced level.
How do you work it with your ambulance then, which is, I'll just take the rugby for instance, you've got your ambulance there. If something went badly wrong, would you take them in your ambulance to a hospital, or do you put them in there to rest while the NHS
we'd have to put them into our vehicle to rest. Unfortunately, we have to be what they call CQC registered, which is the Care Quality Commission. You have to be registered with those to transport patients to hospital, which we're not. So we'd have to call in NHS resources. But we are really good on sort of assessing the casualties and then sort of discovering they are fit enough to go in a car. So we really are sort of keen on escalating sort of things into cars and getting them off to local hospitals that way, and then that way we don't put the pressure on the NHS resources. But unfortunately, we're not sort of registered to transport in our own vehicles. But obviously, they are there as a resource to keep casualties warm, privacy, etc. So we can sort of expose and examine areas that we need to treat.
Now, you're at the rugby club, you're at the rugby club Saturdays, and you're at the rugby club Sundays. You spend your weekend at the rugby club, really.
And cover the entire season.
I can understand why. I go up to rugby clubs in the North East and they've got nobody, and I always think that is taking one heck of a risk.
It depends, really. You know, a lot of the away teams that visit Newark, when we treat the away players, they always sort of comment that when they go to other home grounds, they don't sort of see the first aid services, only sort of the team physios. So you know, it is a bit of a blessing that we are there, really. And it's not sort of regulated to have first aid cover. It's just what the rugby club provide, and obviously choose ourselves to be the provider.
The question that everybody will ask is, how much does it cost? It doesn't work like that, though, does it?
No, we're a donation basis. So any event that we cover, we ask for a donation. Some sort of organisers do come to sort of say, give us a bit of a guide price. So we do give them a guide price. But everything, all the events that we do, are on a donation basis. So we rely fully on sort of donations on that aspect. There are obviously grants you can apply for different things. But sort of the main core of the money that we earn is through the donations on the events and any sort of community courses that we run.
You've been at the showground today. How different is a day at the showground to a day at Kelham Road?
Well, obviously you've got just as much risk of having a sprain and strain at the rugby club playing a sport injury as you would do someone who walk around the showground. You know, you've got curbs, you've got steps that people could trip down. You know, you're playing sport, you're running around, you're sort of catching with the balls, etc., tackles. So it's sort of just as high risk as each other event, really. But we can be at events where you've got sort of 6,500 people at an event and not sort of treat anybody. And then we could be at another event where you've got 200-300 people there and you sort of got 6 or 7 casualties on your hands throughout the day. So really does vary, really.
Okay, so that's the outline from Jonathan. When we come back to talk to him in a few minutes, it's first aid, how it's changed. It's the sports first aid courses that they will bring to your club. You don't have to go to them. They will come to you. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the sports injuries that they get, how they treat them, the equipment that they've got with them to help treat them. And then we're going to find out why you can't use a bucket and sponge anymore. Next, I'm going to ask Tony a question. I've been thinking about this one all day. I'm going to give him less than 2 minutes to come up with an answer. Can you believe it? That it was 15 years ago today that a certain drop goal won England the Rugby World Cup. And this has got me thinking for most of the day since I've sort of read that. It is, what's my outstanding TV sporting moment? Could it be that? Could it be Forest winning the European Cup twice? Could it be Celtic when they won the European Cup? I can just remember England winning the World Cup on television. And we've seen and we've seen Olympics and we've seen boxing. We've seen Muhammad Ali and, you know, the Rumble in the Jungle.
Rumble in the Jungle.
All things like that. Me, I'll tell you what mine is after Tony's told you what his is.
Well, I've thought long and hard over the last 1 minute and 58 seconds of preparation that I've been given for this one.
You're the professional journalist.
Well, yeah, but I mean, with what I got paid at the advertiser, I'm not exactly quite a professional. But
what you get paid is professional.
It's not far off here at all. But no, it's I was around in the 1966 summer, and that particular day, my dad point blank refused to go and play football in the garden with me because there was a rather important match on television. And I seem to remember it's the first time we ever had a telly in the house. He got it for the World Cup final. Black and white, obviously. And I had no interest in football whatsoever. Loved playing it with my dad in the garden, but he refused point blank and he said, "For God's sake, woman," to my mother, "for God's sake, woman, take him out of the house so I can watch his game." And I went off down to town to buy some batteries for my torch. And then I went through to 1969, and that's the first sporting occasion I can remember watching. And all my mates were talking about it at school, so I deliberately sat on the arm of my dad's chair and watched the 1969 FA Cup final from start to finish. Neil Young scored for Manchester City against Leicester City and got the only goal of the game in a 1-0 victory. And then I can remember the 1970 FA Cup final when Leeds United got cheated out of it by Chelsea, especially in the replay. I remember that one very, very clearly. I was in tears for hours.
Sorry.
And I've hated Chelsea ever since. But, yeah, I mean, the most I've ever been moved by television sport, because I'd rather be there. But the most I've ever been moved by television sport is the best ever Ashes series, when Freddie Flintoff and the boys had that fantastic, oh, so you're fantastic going,
oh, right,
series.
Okay, you're going, oh, right, yeah, of course, yeah. My two are what everybody calls Botham's Ashes, because it had everything, because at one stage he'd got the sack from being captain, he'd got his two ducks in a test match, it was the worst cricketer that the world ever existed, and sort of 4 days later he rolled his sleeves up and says, right, I'll show you.
And that's gone straight through the confectionery stand and out again.
Yes, exactly. So that, with the commentary, and then Bob Willis the next day.
I feel really sorry for Bob Willis, because it was all about Botham, wasn't it?
It was.
Bob Willis got no right
and
it whatsoever.
And he took 8 wickets from next to nothing, and Australia was just... couldn't do anything. Yeah. That is just... that sticks in the mind.
But...
The West Indies fast bowlers.
Oh.
And what sticks... and I'm not a Yorkshireman here. This is tough. Brian Close was brought back at the age of about 45...
against the Windies.
..to face the West Indies at 100 and whatever it is mile an hour balls, because all the England youngsters had run away. And he didn't wear a helmet, and he didn't wear pads on his arms, and they peppered that chap. And he stood there and says, come on then.
Have you seen the picture of his chest in the dressing room?
I got him. But he didn't yield.
No.
And that's a hero. An absolute hero. But I'm going to give it to Manchester United winning the European Cup against Benfica. 4-2 at Wembley.
Yeah.
When George Best in extra time went right through the defence and slotted it in. That's why he's the best footballer that there's ever been.
Better than Donny Hage?
Just.
Joking.
They look the same.
Not now.
No, not now. That's mine. So what's yours?
Mine would be the...
no mention of Celtic.
No. No, mine would be the Ashes of Freddie Flintoff and the boys. Because principally, I love my football, probably number one. Cricket is a very close second. And nobody talks about cricket, but during that particular Ashes series, old ladies in the supermarket were discussing it amongst themselves. It made the front pages as well as the back pages, and it was just the best cricket has ever been. And I was actually at Headingley when Jeff Boycott got his 100th 100 on his home ground against Australia.
Took 4 days, but he got it.
And I got about as many days in detention for it, because like idiots, we took a banner and the headmaster saw us on the highlights on telly at night time. But for actually...
yeah, but it's the best detention you ever had.
It was worth every second. But for actually, on television, it's got to be that fantastic summer of the Ashes.
What did the headmaster say to you? Look, lads, I've got to give you this, but I wish I was there with you.
The bad thing was he actually was there in the grounds, but he didn't seem to pick up any detention. I can't understand that.
Brilliant.
It was a harsh lesson as a 16-year-old.
Absolutely. Renee, a bit of reminiscing there. What's your favourite television sport moment? And, of course, the phone's been red hot, and to our little list of Simo's centre-forwards, Gerry Booth has got to go on the list.
Indeed.
Because Gerry Booth, in his pomp, was almost unplayable.
It was, yeah. But
I've opened up a whatever. I've opened something up.
It would be a wonderful debate, wouldn't it? With a sort of,
we have got to try and get Eric and Billy into this studio.
It would be nice to get an eclectic gang round a table to discuss it and come out with the top five.
Got to do it. Got to do it before Christmas. We've got to work on that one. Right, let's look back at probably slightly less mundane, but still a very important weekend in the world of Newark sport. Last weekend. And Newark Rugby Club produced one of the greatest ever comebacks to take maximum points off Matlock, and a win that takes them back up the table to the heady heights of seventh. Flow Serve win a game and Sam Agar scores a hat-trick. Is he the best ever Flow Serve centre-forward? It's a debate. Even better, Sherwood Colliery lose. Collingham climbed to third in the Central Midlands League, but Newark lose again and remain bottom. A clean sweep for our junior football teams. RHP Colts are pick of the bunch with their first league win of the season. Jags Juniors beat Norwich and Aylesbury on the same day to top their mini league. The Hockey Club men snatch a draw at Derby, but the ladies are beaten at all-conquering Repton. Another win for the tennis club, this time in the mixed league, and Flowserve win under lights to progress into the last eight of the League Cup. And the drinks are on Tizer as he nets four.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Did you get the time in there?
Absolutely incredible. It's a real education seeing a master at work.
Right.
And then I come in and see you.
Talking of that, let's talk to Jonathan again.
I've just thought of another one. Greatest ever centre forwards, Elliot King, last season scored 52 goals.
No, no,
scored 52 goals.
No, one season.
Who scored the most?
Jerry Fell, 69. One season. You want to talk history, mate? You're talking to the right man to talk flow surf history.
Well, you're old enough.
Simo's history. Let's start with my bucket and sponge question then. Because now you turn up in an ambulance, you've got massive, great bags full of all expensive and important looking equipment, yet Eric had a bucket and sponge.
Well, inside of all this sort of expensive ambulance, as you just described, and the expensive bags, it's got all gizmos and bits and pieces in. One of the two things that we don't carry in there is a bucket and sponge. That is your answer to your question. Well, it's sort of like turning to your nanny at home, isn't it? You know, it's all sort of old school renemies, isn't it? That you sort of, you know, real old school ways of doing things, isn't it? But now we've got such modern mod cons like ice packs that's sort of more effective. Obviously, a lot of research has gone on over the years.
I mean, I suppose the cold water treatment is effective, your ice pack, just to numb the pain while you get on with it, which is why that most people of 55 onwards is walking around limping.
Yeah, but obviously, like I say, a lot of research has gone into sort of strains, etc., and how to promote the recovery, how to look after them, how to get the person better, and that's what it's all about now. And you sort of look at that in medicine across the board, you know. I look at it with work, and I would take people in with having heart attacks now, sort of in the hour they're on the table, the consultants there going into the groin, going into the wrist, sort of going into the actual heart without sort of doing any particular open heart surgery. It's all sort of keyhole through the groin and wrist. They're in there, they can see the clot on x-ray vision sort of live, pull the clot out and put the stent in repair, and then sort of done within 45 minutes back onto the ward, discharge a few days later. That's sort of like the advanced medical stuff that we're doing now, rather than sort of coming on with a bucket and sponge.
Is it dabbing it
on the leg and then sort of getting up and carrying on?
Well, you see, in the olden days, the trainer was exactly what it was. He trained them, and he also was the trainer on... Yes.
I can remember a story, and I've got no idea which football club it involves or the characters involved, where the trainer had false teeth, the physio. He had a pair of false teeth, and he used to dash onto the pitch, pull his teeth out and bite the bloke on the leg. And so I've got no idea why. Obviously, it's obviously not a medical suggestion for anybody. But it was very effective, because as soon as somebody was down and injured and rolling about, this guy would come on, and as soon as he removed his teeth, the player would jump up and skip away happily.
If anybody has a spare hour, Monday to Thursday at 7 o'clock, please let me know. Anyway, Jonathan. It's got to be a massive plus that people like Newark Rugby Club and I'm assuming Flowserve, their physio on the day now is trained, because going on there when you're not trained surely can do more damage than not being there at all.
Yeah, definitely. It's always right to have the right training. Not necessarily sort of putting people off on the automated external defibrillators. Anybody can use that. It's really important, which is another subject another day. But don't ever be afraid to pick up a defibrillator and sort of not be able to use it. It tells you exactly what to do. You see them everywhere. Most sort of sports clubs, I guess, that you go around, Mick, you see quite a lot of them now.
There's certainly more and more getting, isn't
there? Yeah, there's more and more sports clubs getting them on different grants, etc. all around the town. You know, there's just one being installed near the castle grounds as well. So don't ever be scared sort of picking up that sort of equipment, because it tells you exactly what to do. So necessarily have to be trained in that. But so the examination and etc. of a sprain and a strain, fractures etc. is always good to be trained in, because you know exactly what you're looking for.
It's the one that really always panics me is the fractured. Is it broken or is it not broken? You know, and you see, and you say to people, "Oh, just jump up and we'll carry you off," or you know, try and limp off.
Mm.
That could cripple you for life, couldn't
it? Definitely. At the end of the day, we've not got X-ray vision, so we need to treat for the potentially the worst. But there's a way of examining the actual area that you're suspecting of the fracture, and different sort of treatments for it. So it just depends on the whole situation. You've got to look at the mechanism of the injury. That sort of gives it away a little bit. Sort of look at the potential. There could be a fracture there if they've had sort of quite an high impact on somebody else, or a high impact on the ground. Sort of if it's like on a rugby player, if their head's hit the ground, there's a potential there for a spinal injury. So you've always got to sort of a bigger picture and look a little bit beyond of sort of what you can see on top of the skin, because it might not necessarily be visual to you. You need to dig a bit deeper to find the actual cause of the problem.
And I just can't find it at the moment, but just to back up what Jonathan says, there are 4 professional rugby players in the UK that's had to retire this year through head injuries. And it's not a million miles between a head injury and a spinal injury, is it?
A spinal injury is probably more of a fracture. Or you can obviously sort of slip discs, cause bruising, etc. like that. But a head injury is sort of looking at your concussions, things like that. So it are sort of slightly different, but 9 times out of 10, like I say, depending on the mechanism, if you've got a neck injury, there's more than a chance you've got a concussion. Only a few weeks back we dealt with sort of a similar sort of scenario at the rugby club where the guy had got a concussion and got suspected neck injury. So I had to sort of treat both.
So, do you think, in your opinion, every sporting event should have a qualified first aider there? Because, you know, we go out playing football on a Sunday morning, we go out playing kiddies rugby, you're there, Newark are exempt from this because they're absolutely fantastic. But these places that don't, they're taking a risk. And, you know, what we have to do, you know, when you get suspended for 3 weeks from being a football referee because you forgot to bring your whistle and you have to play rock, paper, scissors instead of blowing the whistle, yet there's no first aider at that ground, what the heck is more important?
Yeah, I mean, I think this... You do need, in the modern day, to have first aiders in any contact sport. Because, you know, it's just daft, irresponsible, whatever the word is, not to have them there. You know, if particularly at rugby, because it is a very serious contact sport. At football, you're kind of unlucky if you get seriously hurt, but rugby, you can have the most innocuous collision, can cause a hell of a lot of damage. Yeah.
So what's in the ambulance then, Jonathan, and what's in these backpacks?
In the ambulance, sort of, most of our vehicles have got a cot stretcher, which obviously you could lay people down. The cot stretcher compares into different positions, depending on the different types of injury, illnesses that they're looking after. We can put the cot stretcher in different positions to help recovery. Got a scoot stretcher, which is a similar sort of thing, but it's a two-part separation stretcher. So we split it together and roll it underneath one side of the body and then the other side of the body, and then be able to lift them up onto the cot stretcher. Carry chair, which is basically sort of a wheelie bin sort of design, but like a chair formation that we can sit people on to wheel them onto the vehicle. In the backpacks, in the main big backpack, we've got our basic first aid kit at one side, and on the other side we carry our oxygen bag valve mask, which is sort of that we use for resuscitation. It acts as a barrier from us and we can deliver oxygen into the lungs. Also includes the airways that we use to secure the airway to make sure the tongue's not sitting on the back of the throat, so we get the air down the lungs. Suction unit for suction in the vomiting out, because normally during resuscitation you'd get vomits. That's there to pull that vomit out. Got monitoring equipment in that bag as well, so like blood pressure thermometers and SpO2 meters, where that registers and looks at your oxygen levels and your pulse rate. Carry burns bits in there as well, and then sort of major trauma, bleeding, tourniquets and sort of static bandages to put in there to stem bleedings. What else have we got? Clean film for burns, obviously. Just trying to go around the bag. some Oxfam Mass as well to deliver Oxfam at different levels.
You see, you know, it's people will say, "Oh, why are they there?" You know, this is overkill, isn't it? Having them there. But I once remember a summertime football match in Gala Fete Day at Lowfields, the day before I went on my holidays with my then 8-9-year-old grandson, who managed to get stung at Lowfields, and it was Jonathan that sorted it all out. And by the time mother and grandma got up there, the job was sorted. So it is from stings to
literally one extreme
to the other,
which most of our volunteers do like. It's very unpredictable what we're going to get. Like, say, you know, it could be at an event where we've got lots of people, we get very little injuries, but then you're at big little events, you get lots of injuries. So you always go in expecting the unexpected, really. Definitely sort of the same for sports.
Right, sporting first aid courses. And you told us before this started, and Tony should be taking notes here for FlowServe, before you started, that you would actually come to the club.
Yeah.
And you would spend a night, or whatever it takes, at... Let's do Lowfields, because he's here. You would come to the social club at Lowfields with a group of FlowServe lads, players, management, whatever.
Yeah.
And...
deliver the course.
Now you take it away from there.
Well, the course is 6 hours, so if we, for it, like, say, given your example, mate, we come to FlowServe, got the big spacious room, which is sort of one of the good things, and is one of the quite important things that we need at any sports facilities, is the room to do the course. Obviously, you can appreciate there's a lot of practical to the course, so we need a lot of space. So somewhere like FlowServe is absolutely ideal. So the course is 6 hours long. We can split that into two evenings, or sort of do it one day of the week. Almost that can be arranged. Then we come in, if sort of 12 or 14 of you, knock the course off, give you a certificate, and you're sort of off you go.
See, that's got to be a good thing, Tony. It's, you know, not just I'm not just picking floats.
No, no.
But for
anywhere.
You know, our running clubs, our football clubs, our cricket clubs. It's got to be a good thing if a couple of clubs got together, made it easy for them, hasn't it? It's got to be the right foot.
Well, I mean, it's not just contact sports. I mean, it can be any. You know, it can be a running club, and you can get an injury. And there's no contact involved whatsoever. It's just that, unfortunately, you put your foot down that way and things happen. You know, it's just any sporting club, and not even sporting clubs. Any, you know, where there's a gathering of people, if you've got somebody there who's got the first aid knowledge, it can only help, can't it?
Well, we'll give this a bit of a push, Jonathan. If you let me have the details, we're going to give this a bit of a push, because I think this is so, so important. You know, now you're getting crowds of 200 plus. Mm. Inevitably, one day, by sheer volume of numbers, something is going to happen, isn't it?
More than likely. Yeah. And if people are looking to put in the defibrillator as well into their sports clubs, any organisation, businesses, that's something we can help with as well. We can guide you on sort of the right bits of equipment to get. Sounds silly, but, you know, there's a lot to look at, and people don't know what they're looking for as well.
It sounds silly, Jonathan, until the day when you need it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's
obviously, we can help with the training on the defibs as well. You've got to remember, sort of Newark, with not having sort of a local hospital, ambulance service, so response times in the area is unfortunately quite poor. No fault of the ambulance service itself. You know, there's lots of different factors involved in that, which I don't think sort of people fully understand and actually appreciate.
I think it's for another show if we start talking about taxis to King's Mill.
But,
you know,
sort of, you've got to take it into consideration at the end of the day. The sports club around Newark need to sort of understand that they could be in for quite a substantial weight. However, that's another good flip point on that, that if people are trained in the first aid, they're able to deliver the first aid rather than phoning in 3-9s and waiting for that ambulance could actually go to somebody else that sort of potentially needs it a lot more than somebody that could have a potential fracture. But if you've got a first aid that's been trained, they've asked look for your signs and symptoms, and then hopefully treat and deal with it, get them in a car and get them to appropriate care rather than sort of putting a strain on the NHS.
I mean, this show never ever takes sides of anybody, and we've got the Newark Community Ambulance, we've got St John's, we've got the NHS, and they all do an absolute fantastic job. But the point is, if you choose to wait for an NHS ambulance, which is at King's Mill, you're going to be waiting a long time. Where would you rather wait, in the middle of that football field or running track, or in the back of an ambulance? I know where I'd rather wait.
Yeah.
And I know I'd rather wait with as well. There you go. Right, coming up next, we're going to talk about this coming weekend in the world of Radio Newark Sport, and then we're going to finish off with Jonathan, and he's going to tell me what he's going to be doing what the Newark Community Ambulance people are going to be doing over the Christmas period. OK, it's coming round to Saturday, and it's yet another busy day of Saturday sport. Whereas last week I thought that the Matlock-Newark rugby match was the standout event, this week it is the Newark Flowserve match at Sherwood Colliery, so we'll start with that one. Second place Flowserve travel to third place Sherwood Colliery. Flowserve have played 18 with 44 points. Sherwood have played 16 with 40 points. We're about halfway through the season, but Tony, I'm going to put this one to you, and we're not going to dwell on it for too many seconds. The Works simply cannot afford to lose this match.
Sherwood Colliery have got two games in hand. We're 4 points in front. So if we win the match on Saturday, the two games in hand are negated because we'll be 7 points clear, so it doesn't matter. They've got two in hand. We've got them in the bag, and the pressure's on them to get them.
That's what I said. You can't afford to lose the match.
Mm.
Simple as that. A draw, OK, maybe. Take that.
A
defeat, no.
Even a draw, it's a fantastic opportunity to take us a march on one of our rivals.
So if you want to go onto the Flowserve social media pages, I'm sure Tony will put the postcode for...
It's already on there.
For sure, it's already on there, so they're easy enough to find. Just put Newark Flowserve into social media and you'll find the postcode, because that is the match of the day. But not far behind that match, Tony, not very far at all behind that match, is the Central Midlands match at Station Road, where Collingham take on Retford United.
Mm.
Third take on fourth.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, you know, wherever you look, another cracking match. And there's a little mini league behind Clay Cross, who I think we're all assuming are going to walk that league. The two Retford sides, Bentley and Collingham, are all in it. The two Retford sides drawing last week with each other, and Collingham's victory has just given Collingham a little gap. And if they can beat Retford United, and it's a big if, because Retford United is a damn good side, they can beat Retford United.
Yeah, I mean, the Collingham have got a great opportunity there, because I think for the Retford lads, it might be a bit after the Lord Mayor's show, given that they had that fantastic crowd last Friday.
Yeah, the crowd of the season.
Yeah.
Newark Town are on the road again. They always seem to be playing. I think they're saving all their home games when they get down to the Sports Village. They're away against a team called Renishaw Rovers, who play on Kiverton's Parks Ground. I've been to Kiverton Parks Ground. They told me it's improved. It certainly couldn't go the other way. Renishaw was down with Newark about 3 weeks ago, as Jim told us on Monday night. They've had about three victories on the bounce, so they're on form. So it could be another hard afternoon for the Blues. But, you know, they're not playing badly, so they're going to win sooner or later. They're going to get a win.
Mm.
So let's hope it's on Saturday. The youth teams that we're following in the under-18 Notts Youth League, Glatwell are visiting Long Bennington. Farndon travel to Manor, which is somewhere the other side of the county. And Newark Town go San Diego, which is definitely the other side of the county. In the under-15s, RHP Colts travel to Arnold Town. That's the battle of the bottom two, even though RHP Colts will not finish in the bottom two. They're well better than that. The hockey ladies go into their winter break. Well, yeah, they do and they don't. Go into their winter league break with a home match against Belper. Remember again back to Monday when Paul Halfpenny was telling us? This is the one of the games that he's put down that he thinks they should get the 3 points. He's wanting to stay in that division next season. I think Repton, well, if you've got two England internationals playing in this standard of hockey, you know, hello, you're going to win it, aren't you? So 11:30 for the ladies' ones against Belper. The twos are at Nottingham University, and the men take on Mansfield in the afternoon at the Magnus.
The hockey players have some crazy kickoff times, don't they?
Oh, the ladies kicked off at Repton at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
But this is the joy, or the not the joy, of an all-weather pitch, isn't it?
Yeah,
you start at 9 and you just carry on playing.
But if you're a sports person,
you don't want to go out at 5 o'clock
kickoff.
I mean, you know, ladies' ones, most of them, you know, have got a family, obviously, you know. They're not going to get back home until 9, 10 o'clock,
no,
are they? You know, that's on a Saturday night.
No.
They miss Strictly. You know, you can't do that. Where are our runners? Well, it's the Derby 10 miler. It's the Not Schools Cross Country, and it's the Columba Trust 10K. I wouldn't go to Derby. I'm too old for the schools, so I run round Columba Park. I think it would be quite a nice...
It'd be a nice little jog for you, that, mate.
Yes, it would. The swimmers are at the Knots ASA Round 3, and both Jags are at home. Jaguars 1 and Jaguars 2. Jaguars 2 take on Lothian, which, of course, is Edinburgh, isn't it? So Edinburgh's coming all the way down to little old Newark to play a game of wheelchair basketball. I tell you what, I have nothing but admiration for wheelchair basketball and the people that play it. You're travelling all the way down from Edinburgh to play a game of wheelchair basketball at the Magnus Sports Centre and then turn around and drive back up to Edinburgh. I tell you, that takes some beating, Tony.
And have you got the boxing down there?
Got to that yet?
No, I was just
Jack
asking.
Jack 2 are playing the Owls, which I'm assuming come from Sheffield. Or why would it be called the Owls?
Well, you would hope so, yeah.
You would hope so. And on Sunday afternoon, Radio Newark's latest favourite, our very own Nina Bradley, no relation, wish she was, but no relation, is back in the ring for the first time since winning the Commonwealth belt. And Radio Newark Sport, at great expense, are sending our dedicated professional journalist.
I will be stretching a Radio Newark coat beyond all recognition.
Not at the moment, because I've not found one that's remotely big enough.
It's okay, I've gone right to the top. I've asked the breakfast team.
Okay, you'll get that in February then. But you're going along to that, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it immensely.
Yes, because you're a bigger boxing fan than I am. I mean, it's no secret. In your top five, so to speak, boxing's there, isn't it?
I don't think I've actually been to a boxing event since you and me were ringside at the Magnus when Smash It Williams fought for the European title.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to Sunday. And I would say again on air that the interview with Nina Bradley last night was probably one of the best shows we've put together. I don't know where it came from.
That's because I never said anything.
I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden we were talking some serious stuff. And if it has helped anybody cope a little better with mental awareness, then I think we've done a very good service last night. I went home buzzing from that one.
Jonathan, we talk about, or you do, injuries that you can see. As Tony mentioned last night, there's injuries that you can't see. How do Newark Community First Aid get involved in that side of life?
On a mental health perspective, we don't come across it that often, to be honest, sort of on a first aid sort of situation, to be fair. We have sort of casualties that have the mental health problems, whatever it would be, come to us for treatment, but we've not sort of had too much of a dealing with it. But it is becoming more of an apparent thing in the community, etc. So we are looking as an organisation to maybe sort of look into doing some mental health first aid courses, because I know they are available to some sort of other companies provide them. So that's something we're looking for as an organisation. So really does vary, but end of the day, we need to be sort of human ourselves and just sort of come down to a level and I'm able to communicate with these people and talk to them, because that's sometimes the bestest treatment we can provide, is that sort of talking sort of relationship with them. And
I think it's wonderful now that it's not brushed under the carpet.
It's very much,
and people, even on a little old sports show, feel that they can talk.
Mm. Definitely. And it's very important that people talk. And if anybody's been watching The Jungle lately, our negatives out about
so, yeah.
the autism, which is something you'd probably never realise on her well-known game show. You'd sort of never sort of put that. So it's really good that people do come out and talk about these things. It shouldn't just be on national telly. It should be in these community organisations, in your community sports. You know, the whole thing about being a community is being there for each other, and that sort of just sums it up in essence.
You'd started what's nearly an hour ago now by telling us I think you'd got 46 members. I assume you're looking to grow?
Just like any other volunteer organisation, we're always looking for more. You know, you can never have enough volunteers. So you don't have to, like say, you don't have to have the experience. You know, you can sort of not ever sort of picked up a plaster in your life. You know, get in touch with us if you feel that it's something you can come and do. If you want a new challenge, sort of the younger people that sort of just going into the college experiences, etc. If they're looking for sort of a healthcare job, then we're an absolutely smashing organisation to come and join to get experience. You get people contact, which is something is quite sort of 90% of any sort of healthcare organisation, etc. sort of job is actually talking to people. It doesn't matter if you can name 200 and some odd bones in the body, you know, but you haven't got the social skills to talk to people, then that is ultimately what you need.
How do they find you? I know you can find on social media, but you can tell us.
We can find us at one of the 380 events that we cover each year around the town. Find us on our website, newcommunityfirstaid.co.uk, and all the information there is about our volunteer and the sports first aid courses. There's a contact bit on there as well, so if you've got any questions, fire away on there. We're on social media as well, on Facebook and on Twitter.
I'll give him that answer. Yeah. I'll give him that one, which obviously leads us. And please do. And please also, if you don't want to contact them, contact Tony or I if you want to hold a first aid course at your club.
Yeah, we can have a chat with you and can take it from there.
I'm absolutely sure that cricket clubs can get together. You know, the bottom line, chaps and girls, it can't do any harm. It really can't. It is so important, because one day, and it's happened at the rugby club, Tony, I think, twice already, you know, we've had injuries that have, and people have passed away from them eventually. And they've been paralysed, and you know, you've reported on it. It happens. Chances are it won't happen, but it does happen somewhere at some time, don't it, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that can happen at any time, anywhere. As I said, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be involved in the contact sport, but if you've got the knowledge, then forearmed and forewarned is everything, isn't it?
December, I take it it's busy?
It's not particularly busy, to be honest. We have got a handful of events. Sort of main bulk of the events is covering the rugby games, to be fair, at Kellam Road. Got one or two Christmas fairs at different locations. We've got two Santa runs, both on the same day, along with an auto jumper.
Because
and a...
what you haven't mentioned is you've also got the Newark Community First Aid bike.
We have, yes.
I saw it in action at the Muscombe Fun Run.
Yes, it's a great asset. Different sporting events.
I'm not sure you bought that, but...
Yeah, it's a great asset, sort of using it at sporting events. Obviously, running events are definitely on sort of rough terrain, down your cycle paths, through the trees... Absolutely ideal for a bike.
Behind the last person is the Newark Community First Aid man on his bike. It's simple, but it's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
It really is.
Along with our 4x4s, obviously that's a really good vehicle for using off-road. Again, you know, running events, etc. It's great for using that as well.
Jonathan, fantastic.
Thank you for
having
me. It's been really good.
Finding out all about Community First Aid, because I see him at... Let's say it, Kellam Road.
And just, you forgot to mention though, who does the videos for you?
Well, he does freelancers, my tech guy, when we're doing videos. Because you've got two massive rugby club games, nothing this week, or it's a second spot, but no first team this week. Then they play the league leaders, Melbourne, the following Saturday.
Do you know more than me about the fixtures and I just know when to turn on.
After that, it's Southall, what I'm telling you, mate.
Southall's on the 8th, isn't it?
The 1st and the 8th.
Might well need first aid at that one.
You've got two massive crowds.
I think I'm down for them, actually. I see what I'm going to do now. I just let myself in for it.
Next week we have the Newark Striders coming in, and talking of mind, they'll be talking, that's one of their subjects. Alan Jackson's coming to see us. Jacko's coming to see us, one of the footballing cricketers, or cricketing footballers, whichever way you want to word it. He'll have an opinion on the best centre forward. And Todd Cawthorn from the new Sports Village is popping in to see us and tell us how that's getting on. Until then, thanks Jonathan.
Thank you.
Bye bye.